This show is a Hopful Media podcast production.
In his final days, Alexander the Great's generals asked him who should succeed him. Alexander's answer, the strongest. Taken literally, this would see the close of the classical Greek age, an age thousands of years in the making. Join me, Mark Selleck, as I go back to retell the story of ancient Greece in my series Casting Through Ancient Greece. We will cast our way back to its beginnings, all the way through to the spread of its culture throughout the known world, thanks to Alexander and his generals. You can listen and subscribe to the series at www.castingthroughancientgreece.com, or you can listen on your favourite podcasting platform. Don't forget to follow the series over on Twitter at Casting Greece or on Facebook at Casting Through Ancient Greece. I look forward to seeing you there.
You are listening to the History of Persia podcast. And as we've been hearing from Trevor, the history of the Persian Empire is a story of Persian domination of much of the Middle East and Central Asia. But this was not the first time these lands were conquered, and it would certainly not be the last. I don't want to give too much away, but in the year 329 BCE, the important Persian city of Samarkand in modern-day Uzbekistan was conquered by some guy by the name of Alexander. But what's interesting about this city is that about 1700 years later, this same city, Samarkand, would be the glowing capital of an empire forged by a man known as Timur, or Tamerlane, or simply Timur. And Timur has gone down in history as a fantastic tactician, a man who supposedly never lost a battle, a great patron of the arts, and one of the most brutal conquerors of all time. From about 1365 until 1405 CE, Timur was almost constantly at war, building for himself an empire that stretched from modern-day Turkey to India, from Syria to the Russian steppe, and I want to know how and why this happened. If that sounds interesting to you and you want the story of Timur told by a guy who talks too fast and has loud neighbors, then check out my show, The Timur Podcast. Find out more about it at timurpodcast.com or listen to it in most places where you find podcasts. And with that said, take it away, Trevor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to History of Persia and or America's Secret Wars, depending on which feed you are hearing this in. This is a very brief interjection into both feeds to try something out and explain a little bit. So, you've probably already noticed that the audio quality on this episode is a little bit different than usual. That is because it is 104 degrees, and I currently record this in an uninsulated attic. So, there's an air conditioner running. It's too hot to turn off. And this is the only chance I have to record today. That does make it harder to record a regular episode of either show. And on top of that, I'm in the middle of moving house. I was on a bit of a roll. There was a brief break for some technical issues, but on a roll, production-wise. And I didn't really want to do this, but there's just no way I'm going to be able to record something this week. It's just not going to happen. But I didn't want to leave everyone hanging with nothing in the feed, or just post a check-in saying that I'm not doing an episode. So I'm going to premiere a thing that I came up with for my weeks off on Secret Wars, but I will probably filter into the History of Persia feed occasionally when something comes up and I'm not able to post a regular episode. I have these labeled in my folder as bi-week episodes because that's what they were originally intended to be. Maybe I'll come up with a different category for them. Who knows? So today, I'm going to tell you a totally unrelated story from history. These little episodes are going to be based on stuff I've already written for other purposes. And today, we are going to talk about Libertalia. Libertalia was supposedly a kind of mystical kingdom and or commune of pirates in Madagascar during the golden age of piracy in the early 1700s. Pirates, especially those olden times golden age guys, are a bit like mobsters, cowboys, and street gangs, in that they are historically raping and pillaging monsters who also make for really fun protagonists in stories. We have actually been doing that with pirates since the golden age of piracy was still going on. The story goes that a French sailor named James Misson was really annoyed that the King of France didn't let his sailors loot Ottoman merchant ships. So, James led a mutiny aboard his own ship, the Victory, and took over as captain. He renounced both France and the Catholic Church, and then plundered around the Atlantic before going to spend the winter of 1690 in Madagascar. Now, this isn't unlikely. A lot of pirate captain stories start with a similar sort of conflict, and Madagascar really was a pirate haven at the time. Supposedly, they liked this island so much that the crew of the Victory decided to stay and found the city of Libertalia, a fortress with communal resources, direct democracy, freedom from slavery, and freedom of religion. From there, they raided and pillaged all the colonial and imperialist oppressors of the world. Basically, God's perfect anarchist pirate commune. Unfortunately, none of this is likely to be true. Captain Misson is a character in A General History of the Pirates, spelled with a Y, published in 1724 under a pseudonym. It contains a lot of true historical stories, but also many less true ones. When English mercenaries reached Madagascar in 1713, there was no Libertalia, but there were a few ex-pirates who had assimilated with the local Malagasy tribes. But Libertalia was a popular myth at the turn of the 18th century, and James Misson wasn't the only pirate associated with it. Another story pins the pirate kingdom on Henry Every, a very real Englishman from Plymouth. He was on board an English ship that got stuck in a Spanish port due to diplomatic issues in 1694. That's when he led a mutiny and was unanimously elected captain. He renamed that ship the Fancy and sailed down to West Africa before going off to Madagascar. Once there, Henry teamed up with several other pirate crews until they had a small fleet and set out in August to raid the personal ships of the Indian Mughal Emperor. The Mughals were Muslim, and these ships were on their way back from Mecca after making that year's Hajj, swollen with precious trade goods. The Fancy overtook the Emperor's own cargo ship after a 5-day chase and made off with approximately 166 million modern dollars worth of stuff to be split evenly between 150 men aboard the Fancy. That total remains the single largest pirate heist of all time. This triggered an international incident, very nearly a war between the Mughals and the still new-ish British East India Company. It also triggered history's first global manhunt. The Fancy made a beeline for the pirate haven of Nassau in the Bahamas, where they bribed the governor with basically all the stuff they had stolen, which was too big to carry, before the crew split up and fled. Based on some Mughal coins that occasionally turn up in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, a lot of them seem to have gone there. Only a few of the Fancy's crew were ever caught, and Captain Every himself just vanished. Though, it's worth noting he did have family in the Massachusetts colony. According to a supposed biography published in 1709, Henry Every and a Mughal princess ran off together to found Libertalia. They assembled an army of 15,000 pirates and went to war against the colonial powers. Again, there's no way this actually happened, but it was a popular enough story that later, famous pirates like Blackbeard would have heard it, and many of them openly styled themselves based on Henry Every. So that is the story of Libertalia, and a bit of its influence on how the rest of the Golden Age of Piracy developed. Hopefully this was interesting or enjoyable, or you got something out of it. I'm sure I'll work out how these mini-episodes are going to work if I end up doing more of them. Until the next real episode, thank you all so much for listening and bearing with me as everything just keeps happening.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East, the very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.